Welcome to Pre-K Spot Talks. I am Melissa, your host and the founder of Pre-K Spot, the spot for early childhood educators to open up their teaching. I am your guide down the open-ended child-led teaching path, and together we will explore strategies and ideas so that you may open up your teaching to less stress, more engagement, and an overall joyful child-led classroom. Hey, hey, educator friends, and welcome back to Pre-K Spot Talks. I'm your host, Melissa May, and today we have a special bonus episode for you where Melissa and Mikey talk about having basically a bilingual classroom without being a designated bilingual classroom. I have Mikey here, my teacher bestie. You have probably heard about him if you've been around a while. I mentioned him a lot on Instagram, a lot in the podcast, he's here.
If you watch Melissa's Instagram, you may have even seen me cameo in some of her go-lives.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, I just kind of pop in and like, hey girls.
And so we are going to start doing some lunch chats, and this is our first one. We're going to talk a little bit about how we are handling having basically dual language classrooms while not being a dual language school.
Yes.
I'm going to say, so we've been dealing a lot with dual language classrooms, basically dual language classrooms without being dual language classrooms.
Yeah, we have our school has taken on a lot of the students who are migrating from South America, and nearly every classroom in the building has a solid third of the students.
Yeah, definitely a third.
That are Spanish speaking, and the rest are mostly English speaking. And there are very few bilingual Spanish speaking employees in the building.
And even like accessibility, though, like even some of the employees, you know, like you're teaching. So it's not like you can just like come over and like help me out, like every, you know, for more than a quick question or things like that.
Background information, I am one of the very who does speak fluent Spanish, but it's a really interesting experience to have gone from being a mostly gen ed or integrated co-teaching classrooms, all in English, a monolingual school, to all of a sudden we are
basically a bilingual school.
That is still teaching all in English.
Exactly. Right?
And nobody is dual language certified.
Right.
We have one ENL teacher, English as a new language teacher. And
she's doing her best, but now she's got the full caseload.
Yeah. There's only with one person and 100 kids. It's impossible to give everybody the attention and time that each of them needs and deserves.
Right. So, and that's only K through 5.
Right.
She doesn't even service our children.
It's interesting how it is manifesting across the grade levels.
Yes. What do you know about the other grades? Because I don't really have any. Do you know anything?
So.
Or have you heard?
I see and I hear our classes down here and the kindergarten. Right. We're on the same floor in our building. And some things that I notice are the children are picking up language relatively quickly.
Very quickly.
Yours, sure. I think, are picking up faster than mine are, probably because I speak to them in Spanish.
And I just can't.
And I wonder, because I don't know best practice around this, but if I were to only speak to them in English, would it help them pick it up even faster?
Sure, probably right? would.
But in the upper grades, I notice that it's, or I hear that it's really challenging for some of the children and teachers, because often the kids want to engage, the kids want to participate in lessons, and they ask to participate in lessons, especially in the classrooms with Spanish-speaking people, adults, and they, in those classrooms, they're lucky because there's somebody who can
help
and translate some of the material if that is what's needed in the moment. But in a lot of cases, they're unable to access what the other students are doing. It's also interesting because some of the students don't have what we would call grade appropriate skills in their own language. not everybody, but there are some, sure, some students who are still learning to read in Spanish in fourth and fifth grade.
Right.
And
okay.
So transferring those skills to English is a non-starter.
Right. It's even more difficult
when they're still working on it in their native language.
I feel like we see a little bit of that in here too. Like, I'm just finding the moments where the kids are disengaging more are those like whole group teaching moments. Mm-hmm. Morning meeting is getting better.
Agreed.
Also because morning meeting is not necessarily heavy on the language and it's not heavy on like the teaching.
No.
You know, because we're singing the hello song, yeah, but we do a share. And, you know, I find that's when I sort of start to lose them a little bit. I do ask the question in Spanish, like we did today, what's your favorite animal? And they were happy to answer, and they answered in Spanish, and we figured everything out. But then, like, sometimes during stories, too, like, if I don't use novel effect, they're a little lost.
It's so helpful.
So good, right?
If you don't know novel effect, we're not paid promoters, but we'd like to be.
Yeah. No, I've been posting about it. Novel effect is amazing. It just at least brings them in.
Yes, it's sound effects for stories, a lot of popular children's stories.
Yeah, I think they like to call them soundscapes.
Soundscapes. They're uploaded to this app. And I noticed the same thing when I read with that app active. Like, I read Creepy Carrots today, and mm-hmm, every single student...
Oh, I should do Creepy Carrots today.
It's a good day.
Yeah.
It's October.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know when you're listening to this. But, yeah, I read Creepy Carrots with Novel Effect today, and every student, regardless of their access to English, was deeply engaged with the story.
Well, and then this is how they're going to get their access to English. I mean, mm-hmm, at least we've had this conversation before. I feel like we're lucky that we're in pre-K, because then at least we're already teaching them language. Like, right, that they're developing their language at this age no matter what. Mm-hmm. So we can take all of those skills and just apply it to our Spanish speakers. Or, like, it's all just the same, because they're going to develop that English the same way we're teaching our English-speaking children.
And so much of our practice at this age is done through pictures to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no matter who you're teaching, like, we're always drawing and we're showing, you know, symbols and things like that to children to help them understand. We're pairing that with language,
right,
to help them understand things that we're asking or requesting of them. And I hear you saying that practice is equally helpful for children,
yeah,
who are,
exactly,
not yet speaking English, because it's meant to be universally accessible.
Although there's some tough moments, like we had one today, actually. I walked out, we were on the roof, and we walked into the hallway on the roof and found five of our children just in the hallway, and not one single one of them asked me or told me where they were going. Mm-hmm. We saw one leaving, so we were like, we know it, mm-hmm, right? So we walked out, but so I sat everybody down to talk to them. But some kids were totally engaged, whether they were Spanish speakers or English speakers, but I'm pretty sure my Spanish speakers had no idea what I was talking about, because this was beyond the, like, my basic ability of translating.
Well, and in that moment, you wouldn't have even had, you're in a space in our building where there's no paper available to you.
Right. I didn't have any materials. I had nothing because we were outside. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if they even understood. I used the few basic words that I know, like how to say, how to ask, you know, first ask, or mm-hmm, ask for water, ask for the bathroom. Mm-hmm. But I had no other level of being able to explain it. Mm-hmm. So actually, I was hoping maybe you would come in and do a little chat with them.
Yes. I can
just let them know that it is not safe. Because what I told everybody was, like, it's just not safe. You have to, you know, my number one job is to keep you safe. You have to tell me where you're going so that we know how to keep track of you. And everybody seemed to understand. And obviously, it's something they need to work on, because this group just seems to really like to go and be in the hallway and get water every 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. But that was one place today that I found a real barrier to not even having basic Spanish-speaking skills.
Are you seeing the children mix? Are they playing, integrating,
like,
when they play?
Like, bits and pieces, moments. Sometimes on the roof, sometimes not. During playtime here, yeah, it's more just fleeting moments. Like, we've had a lot of mixture at, like, the sand table, because that kind of, mm-hmm, just promotes that. A lot of people have been playing with Play-Doh. So it just depends on if they're all sitting together or if they've spread themselves out. On the rooftop, the rooftop's been okay. Like, if somebody has a ball and they want to play ball together, they'll play ball. Or if somebody's doing something interesting, like, they all thought it was interesting to climb the ledge today. That was fun. That was a nice mix.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, it's getting there. I mean, it's also been, like, what, this is only the end of week 6, and that's including the first week, which was 2 days.
Right.
And not all of these children have even been here that long.
I've noticed in my room that I'm getting a ton of mixing in the classroom. I want to find a better word for that. I don't like...
I mean, cooperative play and, like, engaging.
Regardless of the native language.
Right, right, right. I mean, because I've seen it before, but that was also only one child.
It's so different when you have a small community in your classroom. Right. When you have children who are able to...
interact with each other on that level. Interact with each other
typically in their own language.
Mm-hmm.
It's... I know we were thinking about that, especially at the beginning of the year. Like, how do you support children in interacting with one another when they're not speaking
mm-hmm.
the same language? I found that I haven't needed to all that much. I mean, there are moments where we're having difficulty sharing.
Sure. And
somebody is screaming, no, stop, blah, blah, blah. And it's a quick reminder, like, remember, this child might not understand what you're saying to them right now. If you need help, you need to come get an adult. Whereas... right. Those moments, especially at this point in the year, we would start to expect them to navigate them
on their own a little bit.
On their own.
At least to get started.
To get started. And I'm noticing like a wall when
mm-hmm.
when those sorts of interactions happen, only because they're,
right.
you know, somebody's screaming at you in another language and you're like, what are you even trying to say right now?
Yeah. But no, this is a really good point to bring up because I almost wonder if it's about... I haven't found myself want like really feeling like I need to also,
mm-hmm.
but like just maybe finding more things that like promote. Like I said, the sensory table promotes that more.
Block building
is probably going to promote that more.
I find it like you'd mentioned in the classroom significantly more than outside,
mm-hmm.
which I don't really know what to think about that at this point or what to make of it.
I don't really think there is much to make of it. It's more just like take a note of it at this point, notice it. See and then if happens. We feel like we need to integrate more, like, yeah, exactly, see what happens as children start to pick up more English and our English-speaking children speaking more Spanish. Yeah. I find myself replying to some of them, actually. One of the kids came up to me today, and he asked me something, and I was like, yeah, see. And I was like, oh, wait, you're not one of my Spanish speakers, but it doesn't matter.
No,
like,
no, you can, and that's, I also hear some of my children who grew up speaking English trying out Spanish words that they're
absolutely.
Hearing from us, which is... really cool to see that it's going both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher besties have to sign off because we have to go get our children.
Yay!
So.
Lunch is over.
Yep.
But I hope you enjoyed this one. There'll be more. Mikey and Melissa, yay!
And that's it for this episode. I hope you really enjoyed it. There are more Mikey and Melissa talks to come. And until then, play on.